Are you enjoying this podcast? Well, you have KUOW members to thank for that. KUOW members make the trusted local journalism and storytelling you hear on this show possible. Become a member today and help support the production of this podcast. It only takes a minute. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. A former Boeing quality manager, John Barnett, was found dead last week from what the local coroner said appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's a sad situation, and it's also news because Barnett was a whistleblower who had raised concerns for years about safety issues he saw coming out of Boeing's North Charleston plant. When he died, Barnett was in South Carolina to participate in a deposition for a lawsuit he filed against Boeing for retaliation. When he didn't show up for a court appearance, his attorneys called for a welfare check, and he was eventually discovered in a pickup truck in a hotel parking lot. There's still a lot we don't know about what led up to Barnett's death. But in life, Barnett was vocal about speaking up when he saw problems that needed fixing, despite the risks. And we want to use this time to talk about the role of the whistleblower and whether the programs created to encourage employees to speak up have had an impact on the safety culture at Boeing. Joining me now to talk about this is Marissa Garcia. Garcia worked in the aviation industry for 16 years before becoming a senior contributor for Forbes. Marissa, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
John Barnett worked as a quality manager for Boeing's Everett and North Charleston plants, and he worked for the company for 32 years. In April of 2019, the New York Times published a story where Barnett and several other former employees claimed that there were production issues on the 787 Dreamliner at the Charleston plant and weak oversight from managers. What was important about what Barnett told the Times and other media outlets about the production issues that he witnessed?
I think one of the most salient points from the perspective of Barnett was that the lack of control of non-conforming parts. That's a very standard thing to isolate in aviation to avoid that any parts that do not meet the quality standard get mixed into production and improperly used. In fact, they're meant to be caged, isolated from the production line completely. And he had raised concerns that this was not happening there. And that is extremely, would be for a quality control person, extremely disconcerting to see.
And can you explain more about what that means? I know Barnett, for example, flagged that there were also metal shavings and tools left inside of airplanes that were being delivered. Can you explain more about what that means for a layperson?
Sure. So non-conforming parts just means that something is wrong with it. Either it doesn't meet the original design specifications, or it's been damaged, or it's not working as it should. Quality control will do a test of incoming parts and verify that they do work as intended and are not damaged in any way through shipping or handling on the shop as well. Anything that gets damaged should be isolated, so it can't accidentally be pulled into production. If that's not happening, and if people are feeling pressure to use parts that are quote unquote good enough, that's the beginning of a cascade of problems in quality control. So it would be something that, first of all, it's against the system of safety that Boeing has established. It wouldn't be something they would want to have happen. And so it's natural that Barnett would have flagged it as a concern. What's unusual is that it didn't seem to mean anything that he had flagged it, at least from what he attested, his concerns were ignored.
Yeah, he said that he had urged his bosses repeatedly to address production issues. Boeing, according to Barnett, refused to remove things like the shavings that he was flagging, and he says he was moved to another part of the plant. I mean, having worked in the aviation industry for as long as you did, how surprising was it to hear of Barnett's experience as he told it, having flagged these production issues and then, according to him, having nothing happen and then be moved to another part of the plant?
It is surprising because Barnett had 28 years of experience. He would have been a knowledgeable employee. So even if there were issues of interpersonal conflicts, where, the manufacturer might have been justified in saying, okay, well, let's get you away from this department and focus your energy here. It's still odd because he knew what he was talking about. This wasn't something he had just started doing. So it should have really gone to a higher level in terms of looking at the specific breaks. And that's, I believe, why he contacted the ethics office in DC eventually and asked them outright to please send an auditor who was not based in North Charleston. And unfortunately, they chose not to do that. And that is one of the things that I think Boeing needs to look at how that is missed, because they're trying to encourage people to speak up. So the system needs to also listen. That was one of the things that the expert review panel also flagged, which is that they don't have the systems in place to really apply the feedback that they're getting. That's unfortunate.
So we're going to talk about that expert review panel in just a second, but you referenced a Boeing ethics review panel that Barnett had contacted and, had asked for further review of what was going on in North Charleston. Marissa, in 2017, Barnett left Boeing. He felt that there was hostility to his flagging of issues, that he had been blacklisted and blackballed from jobs as a result of flagging issues. And he had filed an Air 21 complaint against the company, and that's a complaint through the FAA. What are the protections for whistleblowers in the aviation industry under federal law? So, what is this Air 21 program that he was working through?
Well, Air 21 basically assures people that speaking out will not cause them to lose their job, their security. It protects people from retribution for flagging concerns, but it is a long process, and it basically has to be determined that the claims that the employee is making are accurate. So it's there, but the best thing is to catch it before it gets to an Air 21 filing, if you're trying to resolve the quality control issues at your facility.
What were Boeing's processes for addressing complaints like what Barnett was flagging, and how have they changed over the years?
Well, Boeing has really tried to focus on getting people to speak out, at least on paper, in terms of what they promote about themselves as part of their new Boeing safety management system. They try to get people to be open and transparent when they see something, speak up. And they also implemented the anonymous tool where people can go in and report findings, which is supposedly not traced back to an individual. But the general review of those systems suggests that there's still a lot of maturing to do. They're not working as intended.
Is there anything that you're seeing today? I mean, we are talking about John Barnett's issues with the 787 line in North Charleston. And obviously, that's a different plane than the 737 MAXs that we've been discussing recently with the door blowouts and the deadly crashes back in 2018, 2019. Is there anything that you're seeing about today's safety questions swirling around Boeing that their processes for raising concerns and allowing employees to speak out may have an impact on?
I think basically what is happening is that the systems need to mature and they need to be working as intended. So if I'm working at Boeing and I see something wrong, I should feel secure that I can highlight it without it going to my human resources manager or my superior, who may be involved in this situation. And it could affect my wages, my career, my security, my pension, all of that. People should be able to say, this is wrong and this needs to be fixed. And if it's not happening on a natural flow of the process of of production, then they should be able to alert the company of what they're seeing without repercussions. That's not the way that entirely it's feeling. That's the feedback I get from the reports I read. It seems as though people internally don't really feel secure in doing that. And that's going to be the big challenge for Boeing to overcome, because they sincerely seem to want to fix their quality issues and mature their system. So they need to foster that confidence. And unfortunately, it can be hard, because once people have worked at a place for, decades, and they've got used to a certain culture, it's hard to persuade them that things are different. For example, when the expert panel review happened, they were trying to encourage people to speak up and share their insights and maybe ask them some questions of how things could be improved.
Marissa, we've talked about this speak up policy that Boeing has implemented in recent years to try to encourage workers to report any issues during the manufacturing process. There are supposed to be, processes in place that will help elevate those complaints. However, an expert review panel report from the FAA that was issued last month found that this speak up policy at Boeing is still perceived as a new reporting program, as you mentioned, within Boeing. And it's actually been almost 5 years since speak up has been implemented, still considered a new program. Tell me more about what that means about the culture when it comes to flagging issues and whistleblowing.
Well, exactly. If they perceive it as something new, it tells you that they're not used to it yet. It hasn't become second nature. And it feels awkward in some way for them to use that method. So it would be important for Boeing to get employees to be at ease with it, and to actually engage in using it. The expert panel review found that most people prefer to go to their immediate manager with a concern. Which, was not necessarily wrong, but it didn't create a situation where there was an accountability for points that were flagged later being corrected and implemented. And that's the critical thing, because anyone can say we have X problem on the line, and you don't know if it's a one-off or is it a recurring problem. That's why quality control systems will try to keep track of these reports and look at the bit broader picture and say, we may have a problem here that we need to re-engineer, or we need to reprocess.
Marissa, John Barnett was a quality manager on the Dreamliner. Now, this is a different plane completely from the 737 MAX 8 and 9s that have had these quality issues over the years, including the door blowout earlier this year, and of course, the deadly crashes in 2018, 2019. But what does John Barnett's experience trying to elevate problems that he witnessed at Boeing, as a quality manager, in fact, say about the overall culture of how employees can be heard at the company and how issues are flagged there?
So it's important for employees to feel they can speak openly and be listened to, and that what they say actually drives change within the company for the better. That, I think, is the biggest challenge that Boeing needs to tackle right now. Because based on the reports, it seems like employees feel that they don't know where to go when a particular thing happens, and they don't know that if they go and report it, anything will come of it. That's very disconcerting, and it would be frustrating for someone working there to want to say something and not be sure whether they could. That needs to be, refined and matured to the point where they feel at ease with expressing themselves. But for example, when the expert panel review went there, they tried to encourage an open conversation, with the employees they met with, and they found that some of them were very brief in their responses and had very few questions. And some of them had been briefed by Boeing Legal before speaking to them, which would be unusual. Why they would, because that would automatically make them feel like, oh, I may do something wrong that could get the company I love in trouble. That's not really very productive, if you will, in terms of encouraging people. Now, it's understandable from a Boeing perspective that they want to limit their exposure and their liability, and they want to get this right. But it's really going to have to be a massive transformation of culture for that to happen.
John Barnett is not the only Boeing employee who ever filed a whistleblower report with the FAA, but so far he's the only one who has unfortunately become kind of a household name at this point. What do you think John Barnett's legacy is as a whistleblower, Marissa? And did his complaints encourage real change at Boeing?
I think, sadly, and that is the most tragic thing about this, is that if Barnett had not died, we might still not be talking about these things. Obviously, there are internal things that are going on within Boeing to try to get their SMS back on track. Oversight from the whole world, really, at this point, is very much focused on Boeing. But Barnett, I think, represents a genuine effort to do the right thing that went awry. At least in his lifetime, it didn't yield the results he wanted. And I think that's sad, because there are times when people may be overly critical, or I don't think that was his point of view. I think he genuinely was concerned about production issues that he observed, and it shouldn't have got to where it did. It's a very tragic story, but hopefully, if anything, it will encourage other people to take that leap, because he had the courage to do it, and that's something. That's a big legacy. To leave behind, just simply to have the courage to do the right thing.
Marissa Garcia is a senior contributor for Forbes. Marissa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And after the 737 MAX 9 panel blowout in January, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun released a statement to employees encouraging them to reach out when they see something. Calhoun said, quote, "I ask all teammates to use their voices to speak up as we continue to focus on every detail through the lens of safety and quality first." He also said on an earnings call that employees would be rewarded for speaking up to slow things down if that's what's needed. And in a recent statement to the BBC, Boeing said it was, quote, "saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family." Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m., Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.